Hey everybody, we are here to talk about Solo, a Star Wars film. Mm-hmm. I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
We're a couple days late because we had a schedule conflict with the Con of Thrones. What did you think of this bloated budget, directed by Lego guys till they got fired, brought on by the hack Ron Howard, worst miscast Han Solo of all time?
I thought it was pretty good.
Me too.
I honestly, aside from just a few small complaints with like them trying to get too much Star Wars in there, maybe.
Right.
I thought it was a fun movie.
But honestly, it could have been a lot worse.
Oh,
I mean, in the way Star Wars often is, like, oh, Yoda's best friends with Chewbacca. Can't believe I never knew that.
Right. Order 66 on this whole project.
Right. I thought it was weirdly restrained. There was a couple things I thought was forced. There's a big complaint I have in this movie, which is that it's too fucking dark and muddy.
Dude, I can't see anything in the first 10 minutes of this movie.
I don't know if they shot with, like, peanut butter over the lens.
Yeah.
I mean,
they shot it on a tube sock.
Because I literally looked forward, and I leaned out of my seat and looked to see if, like, they'd fucked up the 3D filter. Because if I'm doing that, it's either because your movie's too fucking dark, or they have fucked up the 3D filter and only half the light that's supposed to be getting my eyes is getting to it. And it was that bad. Like. Yeah. It's not just the first part of the movie. It's anytime this scene is, like, dimly lit, they light it like the fucking carbon freezing chamber on Bespin. And that's fine if you just want to silhouette two dark figures and make it very gothic and, you know, Jungian and Joseph Campbell. But goddamn, when there's, like, 10 people moving around and fighting, I need to know what's going on. And that was shockingly bad.
And we're living in a digital age now where... If you sent, let's say, okay, they didn't realize. Like, they sent it out to theaters, they didn't realize it would look this bad. Upload a new fucking copy. Color correct that shit and upload a new copy to their service because it was terrible.
And it can't, and this should have been the first, like, this shouldn't have got out of the editing bay. Like, oh, we need to fucking boost up the brightness or something. I don't know, maybe.
Or do reshoots. I mean, shit, we're doing that anyway.
Yeah, who thought these scenes were, I mean, maybe it's a Legos guy's fault. Because... Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing.
He just looked at it and said, everything's awesome.
Everything is awesome, dude. I just shoot brightly lit yellow faces, and it's no problem. I've never had a problem with these lighting settings before. Let's take him into the mines of Kessel. I honestly, that's the other thing, because every other movie I've seen has been taken over high profile from a director for whatever reason, and I can think of a few. Steven Spielberg's AI. The Justice League movie, you can totally see, like, that it's a stitched together kind of Frankenstein effort of, like, different philosophies and shot selections and even tone. This thing, I thought, hung together incredibly well. Like,
for the development hell it's been through,
there's no part where I'm like, well, that's fucking Ron Howard, and this is the these are the Lego guys yucking it up. I thought that was incredible that the thing felt like it was intentionally designed like this. The other thing, I mean, because ultimately at the end of the day, all I ask is for a film to fucking feel like Star Wars. And this film feels very much like Star Wars, made by people who have affection for the universe and know its limitations and its appeals, and I thought it was great.
I could have done with maybe a little more, like, heart to the story. It did feel like it was just constant action scene after action scene, which is fine, and certainly makes for an enjoyable movie, if not a fairly shallow movie. But I just never felt like this has the emotional sort of punch of, like, a Luke Skywalker starting off on his journey, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Han Solo didn't really have an arc. I thought throughout the whole third act of the movie, or the final third of the movie, the last act of the movie. I said it right the first time, the third act of the movie. like the last half of the third, fifth, sixth act of the movie, that Emilia Clarke was going to die, and that was going to turn Han Solo kind of, like, dark and kind of explain why he's a big selfish asshole at the beginning of Star Wars. But they didn't.
And he kind of starts off like, you know, he's a criminal.
But, like, with the heart of gold. Yeah. And, like, that's not
and
something
he's forced into it. Like, I understand that this, what was her name at the beginning?
Lady Slugbody.
Proxima.
Yeah, Lady Proxima. Sure.
Lady Slugbody, yeah. She kind of forced everybody into
Lady
that life.
Lady Slugbody,
so.
Hottie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to get in that pool with her.
Mm-hmm. Just don't take her out for a day on the beach, and you'll be all right. But yeah, it was more like just discovering Han Solo has always been the way Han Solo is. Mm-hmm. And I got a kick out of, I mean, I guess we're going to have to not talk about spoilers yet, but I got a kick out of how it neatly explained a lot of facets about his life. Like, you know, the reason Han Solo is always broke is because every time he fucking gets an outrageous score, there's some orphan looking at him with big eyes that he's got to give a chunk of bread to or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like he can't ever just take money and fix up the Millennium Falcon the way he wants because he's always fucking broke because he didn't get his cut from the last job because he gave it away.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. And also, I was expecting them to do lots of violence to the origin story of Han Solo. It felt a lot like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Not exactly how I remember from the comics, but, you know, he's got organic web spinners.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit felt the same. You, the stuff that's important, like the, you know, old Uncle Ben, old Ben giving him a speech out in the I'm getting confused. his Uncle Ben giving him the great power and great responsibility speech. Like, all that stuff is intact, and this felt like all the stuff that is important to Han Solo's soul,
yeah,
is intact. And also,
now I think they cast the right actor for this. Like, everybody was so worried, like looking at him, oh, he doesn't seem anything like Han Solo. He doesn't look like whatever. I thought he looked and acted a lot like him. Maybe not as close as Donald Glover is to Lando,
yeah,
but still damn good. Like, I can see him as being a 20-year younger Han Solo.
Right, and Alden Ehrenreich is not as talented as Donald Glover.
Well, okay, who
that's
is?
What I'm
Come
saying,
on.
And he's not as talented
that's
as
a high bar.
Ewan McGregor, who did the perfect Alec Guinness. But
yeah.
He's pretty fucking good.
He is. He's like, exactly what he needs to be
several,
in this.
Like, if you think that he's terribly miscast as Han Solo, but you like Chris Pine as James T. Kirk, you got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
Because he's a better Han Solo than Chris Pine was a James T. Kirk, and he's a perfectly fine James T. Kirk.
He is, yeah.
So I was shocked at how, like, all the early buzz about this movie seemed entirely bad. And maybe it just comes down to the Lego guys wanted to make this, like, an improv movie along the lines of Guardians of the Galaxy, where they can just, like, you know, shoot it like a Parks and Rec episode, and everybody's getting
Jesus.
But I don't think Ehrenreich can do that. I don't think that Emilia Clarke can do that. I think Donald Glover could do that, and Woody Harrelson could do that. But, like, the cast just wasn't up to it. That's a skill. That's a talent.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that movie.
Right.
I don't know. It's interesting because I guess Han Solo's introduction here doesn't feel substantially different from a Star Wars movie, which I guess is what you want. But I also, like, with the subject matter, I think I expected a little bit darker of a movie. It didn't for all that it does in the underworld,
right,
in this movie, it didn't seem like very dark. It still felt sort of cheery,
yes,
and bright, and like,
yeah, even dealing
it
with,
wasn't even Rogue One levels of dark.
No, like, God, no.
Yeah, which I kind of expected from the seedy underworld that Han's involved in.
I think it's the right call,
yeah,
because the Star Wars needed a win, in my opinion. Because, like,
that's true. Yeah.
This little boy's Star Wars heart was about to stop beating, and I was even thinking, well, Solo's going to be a big piece of shit, and then there's no way Abrams is going to be able to stitch together some cohesive, meaningful whole out of this misguided third Star Wars trilogy, and I can use those excuses to be like, I'm checking out of Star Wars. I'll see them when they come out on
what
video
about
or whatever.
What about the version of it?
No.
You don't want to see the double D's?
I mean,
do
I
Star
do
Wars?
Now. I'm back
okay.
in.
All
like,
right.
This is, I guess, the Wonder Woman film. Like, this is the one that's like, okay, well, maybe I can't write off this whole fucking franchise. Damn it. You can tell a small-scale Star Wars film, even with pretty recognizable names and stars, if you keep it, like, at this touch and this light tone and maybe hire someone that knows how to work a camera next time so it's exposed correctly. But... Yeah. Yeah, I was expecting to just hate this film.
Maybe that's why you liked it so much, because the expectations were so low.
Yeah, but I think I do think no on subsequent watches it's going to hold up, because I've been thinking about all the different scenes and like the stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that I knew was going to happen as it was happening, and I was kind of ready to groan or roll my eyes, and no, it's like that's mm-hmm. the best version of what I can think of. So
yeah,
here's the thing, it's getting Dog Piss Jones at the box office. Like, it's the least by a fucking mile.
Well, I mean, it had a terrible reputation before its release, you know? It was already panned by everybody. So, and you're coming off The Last Jedi, where everybody was dissatisfied with that one.
Oh, but that had 97% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. This thing's struggling to stay above 70.
Well, I feel like it's a backlash to The Last Jedi. The stuff people didn't like about The Last Jedi, they're carrying that into the next movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the thing about that Last Jedi is it was gorgeous and there's a lot of high concept stuff. It just didn't feel in many, many places like a Star. Like only a third of it felt like a Star Wars film. This feels, even without lightsabers, and Jedi and the Force powers not being existent in this film.
I wouldn't even mention it. Was totally devoid of lightsabers.
Well,
but
we're not
going to
talk spoilers, Jim Jones.
No,
but no, like it felt like Star Wars. Like, and I was worried about that because I'm like, man, when I think about like Knights of the Old Republic, the one thing I didn't like about that video game is for a lot of the time it just didn't feel like Star Wars because it was just guns and knives and running around grimy spaceports. But this did feel like Star Wars. So, now's the point, unless you got any other non-spoiler things to say.
Let me say this. Okay. I think Emilia Clarke in this movie is better than anything I've seen her do in Game of Thrones. Because the character is much more dynamic.
Interesting.
She's given a lot more range, and I think it suits her.
I thought she was a very fine, chaste love interest for Han Solo, who you know is going to find the love of his life a couple of years from now anyway.
Right.
I didn't buy the chemistry, but as I was watching,
bought it. 100%.
You don't need this to be smoldering, because this is Star Wars is a fucking kids movie, and
that's true.
Yes, Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford kind of smoldered, but then they hated each other, and Carrie Fisher was super coked up, and You can't catch that kind of lightning in a bottle twice, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess they were hate fucking the whole time, too.
They could have coked up Amelia. Just, hey, Amelia, just here. Take a hit of this.
How do you know you've never seen Amelia not coked up?
That's fair.
Like, that's how that's how she idles, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought she was really good.
I was surprised
that I was not nearly as distracted as I expected by Woody Harrelson. By having a like big obvious name actor in this movie.
I think that's just because like we weren't old enough to appreciate how big a star Alec Guinness was.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like Alec Guinness would be like Sean.
That was my introduction.
Like
to
Sean
Alec Guinness.
Connery showing up in a Star Wars.
Right.
Like he was a big British film star in a lot of like Lawrence of fucking Arabia, Bridge Over the River Kwai. My cell phone's going off. Fuck you. Some of that stuff, I feel like we, in retrospect, think it's... Mm-hmm. But yeah, it didn't distract me. Like, he kind of disappeared into the role. And honestly, the baggage that Woody Harrelson brings to that role is all good. Like, he is the pot-smoking hippie that's also the hard-bitten, womanizing detective from True Detective. Mm-hmm. And he can twirl his gun and look cool, and that's kind of...
Natural born killer.
Yeah, that's what Han Solo needed at this stage in his career to get to be the superstar he became.
Okay, I think that's all I've got non-spoilery.
All right, I don't got a lot for trailers because there's been a lot of stuff we've already seen.
Every single one was
the only one
me.
I didn't saw different. Well, there's two ones I hadn't seen before. Mowgli, did you see that one?
Nope.
So that's like
the Jungle Book thing.
It's a Jungle Book thing, but I couldn't tell if it's the prequel to him or the sequel, like what happens.
Is this another
when he
live
goes
action?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't see the first live action Jungle Book. I heard I really missed out. This one kind of looks like a mess, and it also does this thing where the trailer told the entire story of the movie in chronological order, where I feel like I don't need to see the movie now. Thanks for giving me the Cliff's Notes version.
Maybe that's just the first 10 minutes of it.
Maybe. Then it's going to cover like Lord of the Rings ground.
Yep.
The movie Adrift, that's about the young couple setting sail and hitting a hurricane and having to survive. Like,
That's I've seen the preview for this.
Oh, I see. Never have. I read the treatment. It comes out this week. It's something I'm very interested in seeing, but I don't have a lot of time, so I probably will not.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be the next bald movie. Jim will not be a part of it, though. Incredibles 2.
I've
seen this preview. It looks incredible. It looks pretty good. And then they had Ant-Man and the Wasp, which we talked about last time. There's a bunch of others. Mission Impossible, which looks sick. The Equalizer, it looks pretty good. But we've just talked about them like a week ago. So kind of a lame upcoming movie segment. But we want to get to the main event, which is the spoiler review of Star Wars, or of Solo, A Star Wars Story. We'll see you there. If everybody else, if you want to be a part of this, you got to be a club member, club.baldmove.com. If you act right now, like literally before June 1st, you can save 25% off a new annual membership by using the code WWW2018. Go to club.baldmove.com. Get all the scoop there. But like, the spoiler movie reviews are a big benefit, part of the benefits of Club Bald Move. You get ad-free feeds and access, VIP access to our forums, and extra digital bonus content like our lunches with Jim and Aaron and live recorded podcasts and all that other stuff. Club.baldmove.com.